Rock and Roll Geek Show 1029.
Still rocking after all these years.
This is the story of my rock and roll butler.
This is it, the show that started it all. Often imitated, but never equal. From San Francisco, USA, online since 2004. Right. It's the one and only Rock and Roll Geek Show. With the original rock and roll geek, Michael Butler.
Welcome to the Rock and Roll Geek Show. My name's Michael Butler. Thanks a lot for joining me. I really appreciate it. Today is Thursday, September 17th, 2020, and it's 7.03 p.m. when I'm recording this episode. It's been a couple of weeks since I've done one. I needed a little break. I did 30 days in a row, or even more than 30 days for the dog days, and I got a little bit tired, so I needed to rest my head. But I'm back, friends, with a even shittier episode than the last time, so welcome back. What I'm going to do tonight, I'm not going to thank all the donors, but I want to thank you all the next episode, but you know who you are. Thank you, everybody who donates to the Rock and Roll Geek Show. But I would like to thank a couple of people who sent me something in the mail. I want to thank Stephen Crocker, sent me two great Stevie Stiletto posters in the mail. Also, JB from Dallas sent me a $20 cash payola and some cool Texas paraphernalia. And also, Ken Parker sent me this great Cheap Trick hoodie. So thank you, Ken Parker. I really appreciate it. Everybody else who donates, thank you, friends. I will thank you all personally on the next episode. What I'm going to do tonight is kind of a classic albums revisited. Somebody posted on the Rock and Roll Geek Facebook group, which I did not create, but as you know, I do approve people. You just got to answer two questions so that I know you're not somebody trying to deny the Corova. I think Michael Street posted this. He bought out Nazareth No Mean City and was wondering if it was any good. And a bunch of people chimed in, and I said, well, maybe I should do a classic albums revisited on Nazareth, No Mean City, which came out in 1979. Then I thought about it, and I said, well, maybe I should get the guy who wrote the book on Nazareth, Rasmus Snaz, Robert Lawson, to come on and talk about it with me. So that's what I'm going to do tonight. Rob, are you there, friend?
Yeah, I'm here, Mike.
How's it going over there? Are you in Canada, right?
Toronto, Canada, yes, sir.
Marriage going okay?
Wonderful. Beautiful marriage.
Robert Lawson.
Thanks for asking.
Robert Lawson has the most absolute, I hope I'm not out of line saying this. Let me close this door. My dog just on the, okay. Nah, fuck it. My bathroom door is open. Robert Lawson has the most gorgeous wife. I just want to say that out front, Robert Lawson. I'm not, I'm married and everything, and you know, but kudos to your beautiful wife, and I hope you guys stay married forever, because you got yourself a catch there, friend.
Well, that's the plan.
Good. Does she like Nazareth?
I don't know if she really had heard of Nazareth before we got together, but she has spent some quality time with Dan McCafferty, so that's cool.
You guys went to Scotland on your honeymoon, or you just went through Europe on your honeymoon, right? Or did you just go to Scotland?
We went to Scotland on our honeymoon, yeah. And so we spent about two and a half hours with Dan at kind of his local pub, talking and, you know, hanging out. I had, of course, a bunch of Nazareth questions for him. He had a bunch of questions for me about the book.
Well, let me.
So that was a really memorable afternoon.
Back up a minute. So you knew you were going to Scotland. Did you contact Dan and say, hey, I'm going to be in Scotland, can I meet you?
Yes. That kind of a thing, yeah. I mean, obviously, he knew who I was. He'd already, somebody sent him a copy of the book as a gift when it first came out. So he was aware of it and aware of what I had done. So it wasn't too hard to put that together.
And so you contacted him and said, hey, you want to meet somewhere? Or can I come say hi to you? And he said, yeah, let's meet at this pub. How'd it work out?
Yeah, that's pretty much it. I knew, since I was going to Scotland anyway, I definitely wanted to go to Dunfermline because that's, of course, Nazareth's hometown. Yeah. And I just kind of wanted to walk the cobble streets that they grew up on. So I just sent that message that I was going to be in Scotland and specifically in Dunfermline, which is where he still lives. And we put it together real easy.
Any of the other guys?
He agreed to it immediately.
Any of the other guys still live there?
Pete Agnew does. Yeah.
Did you meet him?
I've met him in Toronto a couple of times.
So you didn't
He'd
meet
actually
him?
Just gone. No.
Okay.
He had the band themselves had actually just finished a tour like that week or the week before, so I thought I'd let them rest up. But he was in Toronto, like, I think it was literally like 3 weeks before we got married, and I told him I was going to Dunfermline for my Scotland for my honeymoon, and he said, "Why would you want to do a thing like that?"
Why? What kind of town is this? A nice town? I would imagine it's probably a nice, quaint little town, right?
It is, and in fact, when I told Dan that story, he said, "Well, if he doesn't think it's so great, why has he lived here for 70 years?"
Yeah. So whose idea was it to meet at this pub? Was it his?
Yeah.
Did you get there first, or was he there waiting for you when you got there? Hold on a second. So you told your wife, what's your wife's name?
Vanessa.
You said, "Vanessa, we're going to... when we're in Dunfermline, we're going to go meet Dan McCafferty, the singer for Nazareth." What'd she say?
She was game. I mean, she'd already met the band here when they played a couple years earlier. She'd met them all backstage after the show. I gave them all copies of the book, and so she was game.
Was Dan in the band when they came out to Toronto, or was he already gone?
No, he was already gone,
So the guy they have now was singing, or was it the other guy who lasted about 2 weeks?
No, it was, yeah, it seemed like it was only about 2 weeks. Right? No, it was Carl Sentence, yes.
Yeah, you know, I had Dan on when he quit Nazareth, and that guy had the first guy, and I probably told you this already, but I told Dan, I said, "Yeah, this guy's not the guy to replace you." And he goes, "I know you feel bad about it, but he's the guy." I said, "No, he's not the guy." And about a week later, he was gone.
Yeah, I think he was kind of put into they auditioned a whole bunch of different people. And when they went with Linton Osborne, I think a lot of people were surprised, because even though Linton had been in bands and he even had a couple of solo albums out, he'd never performed on kind of a global stage before. Like, he, only kind of performed in pubs basically in Dunfermline and Edinburgh. So he didn't have that kind of level of experience to really, in front of a big international crowd. So I think he was out of his element.
Yeah, and he lost his, they claimed that he lost his voice, so that's why he had to leave. But I think he just, they realized that they made a mistake, I think, once they got him and started doing some gigs. So who got to the pub first, you guys or Dan?
We got there first. There's a lovely rolling Glen Park right across the street from it, or across the road, really. So we spent a few hours in this beautiful park, called Pinnacroft Park, and then we got to the pub, and we were waiting around for a little bit, but then he was with a friend who drives him around, and they came in without us noticing. So I'm not sure how long they were there before we kind of noticed them, and they noticed us. So there was a little bit of a lag there where I was looking at my watch wondering where Dan was, and I guess he was looking at his watch wondering where I was, and we were actually just like two booths apart.
So when you first, were you a little bit nervous or not? I'm guessing you were not.
Not really. I had met him once before, I think in the 90s when Nazareth did a small club show here. But I was excited to meet him. It was definitely, it's different meeting a band like backstage or at a stage door or even at like a record industry function. Yeah. I've been to lots of those. This is a little bit different because I'm meeting him on his home turf, and we're meeting to specifically kind of talk about Nazareth and the book. So it's a little bit different than the usual kind of me being a worshiping fan saying like, "Oh my God, Dan, I love you." Not that he was saying that he loves me, but he, like I said at the beginning, he had questions about the book and was really curious about about how I came to write it. And he just had a lot of questions for me and my wife about how we were enjoying Scotland, which was great. It was a really neat thrill to leave to go to the washroom or to go to the bar to get another round. And when I come back and Dan is involved in, you know, a conversation with my wife, just asking about, you know, travel and how what her thoughts were about Scotland. It's really kind of surreal to stand back and go, wow, this is a guy whose music I've been listening to my whole life, and I've written a book about him, and now he's just like hanging with Vanessa, you know, really neat.
So what kind of questions did he ask you about the book?
Well, he was curious just about kind of how long I'd been into the band and why did I pick, you know, Nazareth of all bands, you know, why would you ever want to write a book about us kind of thing? And I said, well, no one ever has. So that was, you know, part of my reasoning. So it was a very good chat. It was an excellent afternoon to spend with him.
How long were you there? A couple hours?
I think it was about 2.5 hours.
Oh,
yeah.
Wow. Did he drink the whole time?
He he's on some, I believe he's on some medication, for his, you know, his health issues. So he was actually drinking non-alcoholic beer.
Ah, oh, okay. And you were drinking regular beer, right?
Yes.
Was the wife?
Sorry?
Was the wife drinking regular beer too?
I think she might have just had a soft drink I'm not sure. I'd have to check the photographs.
Were you geeking out on Nazareth with him?
Yeah, I always had a couple of questions that I was, you know, wasn't really able to get the answers to, and I did explain. One of the big questions I had for him was, why do you still live in Dunfermline? Like, you were born here, you're now in your 70s, you've just always lived in this very small town in the Highlands of Scotland. And he said that at their peak in the 70s, they did have an opportunity that they could have moved to L.A. or New York, one of those places. And I said, well, yeah, that's where everybody was. Why didn't you do that? Why didn't you move to L.A.? And he said, well, my wife wanted to live here, and I wanted to be with her, so we stayed.
Is he still with his wife?
Yeah. Oh, for sure.
Huh. How long have they been married?
They were married before the first Nazareth album came out, so quite a while.
Wow. Huh. How about that? Anybody else from... So, does Zal live there, too?
Zal lives in Glasgow.
Glasgow, okay. Yeah, I interviewed Manny... I interviewed... Dan three times, I think. I interviewed Pete Agnew a couple of times. I interviewed Manny Charlton once, and I interviewed Zal Clemenson once. So when you left the bar, was your wife, did she have a good time at the bar talking Nazareth? Or was she
doing
it for you?
Yeah.
Is she a Nazareth fan now? Have you turned her on to Nazareth? And has she started to like the band?
I don't know if she's really listened still to that much Nazareth since then, but maybe I should put together a little playlist for her. She definitely got along with Dan on a personal level.
What kind of music does she like?
She listens to a lot of like 70s soul. She's into 90s hip hop, but a lot of 70s soul is really where we intersect, where both of our loves are.
Is she from Toronto as well?
Yes, she is.
Where'd you guys meet?
It's a record store romance. We were both working in a record store about 15 years ago.
Oh, you worked together?
Yeah.
Huh. Is she how old are you?
I'm 52.
Oh, okay. You're almost as old as me. I thought you were way younger than that. She's not that. She's way younger than you, right?
She's a bit younger than me, yeah.
How'd you manage to lure her? How'd you manage to lure her into your claws, as they say?
I hypnotized her.
Money. You got voodoo. You rich?
No.
Well, that's good. She loves you, right? She loves you.
I tricked her.
You did what? You held a knife to her head? Is that what you said?
I hypnotized her.
Oh, hypnotized. Okay. I don't know. It seemed to work. Well, kudos on that. All right. So. Michael Street posted that he bought No Mean City, and since you wrote the definitive book on Nazareth, possibly the only book, I figured I'd have you come on and we would geek out on this Nazareth No Mean City. What do you think of this album? You like it?
Yeah, I saw that post.
Yeah, it became quite a popular thread. A lot of people chimed in, so then I thought, well, maybe I should cover, maybe, since I didn't have anything to talk about, I said, maybe I'll do a Classic Albums Revisited on No Mean City, because I think it's one of my favorite Nazareth albums. I'm guessing it's not one of yours.
Oh, it definitely is.
Oh,
yeah.
It is, huh, okay. Because I reread the chapter on No Mean City, and you didn't have a lot of great things to say about it.
Oh, I didn't?
No,
oh, no.
Not really. Did you reread the chapter or no?
I did. I thought I did today, yeah.
Now, this is the first album that Zal Clementson from the Alex Harvey, Sensation Alex Harvey Band played on. And you seem to you like that. You like Zal Clementson in the band, right? Although you do not like Malice in Wonderland, am I right?
Yeah, I think they should have kept with the sound of No Mean City for the next record. I know they wanted to try something different, going with Skunk Baxter, but I'd wish they'd kind of done a sequel to No Mean City.
Yeah, I think that's... We probably talked about this before, but I think bringing Skunk Baxter in was one of the main reasons that Manny didn't stay in Nazareth. Do you have that box set, the Nazareth box set?
That new one that came out? No, I don't.
Yeah, somebody sent me that. That thing is an amazing package. It has all the vinyl. It's got a bunch of tour programs. It's got No Mean City tour program. It's got a bunch of reissued CDs. It's got a double live BBC live recording on vinyl. It's really cool. I'm afraid to take it out of the box. I don't want to play the records. I don't want to take it out of the box because it's really a cool item. Somebody sent it to me, and it's really nice.
Well, if you reread, you're right that I'm not wild about the Malice in Wonderland album, but in that chapter I talk about that BBC live recording, and my position has always been that should have been their first live album. And in the book I detail that show quite a bit, from the Hammersmith Odeon in 1980, which was a radio broadcast and a bootleg, and it's come out as bonus tracks on different CD reissues. But I do make that statement in the book, that I really think if that had come out as a live album, it would have kept them going as like more of a hard rock group a little further.
Oh, well, I'm going to have
to. I think it's one of the greatest live albums.
I'm going to have to put that on then. Is that, yeah, because I don't have MP3s of that, so I'm going to have to break out my turntable and convert that. You do not like Snaz? Do you like Snaz or not?
I like Snaz a lot, but this Hammersmith show smokes it.
Is it from what era is the Hammersmith? Is that from Malice in Wonderland tour?
Yeah, it's a Malice tour.
Oh.
So Manny and Zal are like going nuts on every track.
Huh.
Like just almost like they're duking it out, just like going full stop. It's amazing. Like that's just a great example of what that lineup could do.
I'm gonna have to look. Is that available on MP3s? Or is that a bootleg somewhere?
The radio broadcast version of it was on, the audio from it was on YouTube for a very long time.
Huh. I'm going to have to look for that. I might have to pull out my turntable and rip that to MP3s. I got to listen to that. Now, I did not know that was when Zal was in the band.
So if you type in like Nazareth Hammersmith 1980 or even London 1980, it should come up, and it's incredible.
Okay. Do I have him in? Yeah, I'm gonna have to look for it. I do not. It's not on my on my iTunes. What else about that?
A bunch of the songs from it were put on the. You know, there's a salvo when they did their reissues of all the Nazareth CDs. The version of Malice in Wonderland that they put out has about 10 songs from the Hammersmith show.
Which version of Malice do I have? Talking to One of the Boys live, Hearts Grown Cold live, Shutting Out the Border live, Holiday live, and Hearts Grown Cold. Those are all from that concert?
Yeah, well, those four songs were released as a live 7-inch EP.
Yeah.
at the time.
Is that from that concert?
Yeah, those are from the Hammersmith concert.
Okay, good to know.
But then there's a 2010 version of Malice in Wonderland that has like 10 songs from Hammersmith.
Mm. All right, I'll have to look for that too.
Or 7 songs from Hammersmith.
So No Mean City was the follow-up to Expect No Mercy. By the way, the Butlers played we did a live stream, and we played Shot Me Down on this live stream on Sunday. And I got the duty of singing Dan McCafferty's part. It's not an easy song to sing.
Right.
So this is a follow-up to Expect No Mercy. Not really a follow-up because there was no album. They were doing like an album a year for a long time, and then they took a 2-year break. This one didn't come out. Expect No Mercy came out in 77. This came out in 79. So there was a year that they did not put out an album. Am I right?
Right. Well, this came out in January 79. So they were working on it during the end of 78.
Okay. Yeah, they toured a lot for Expect No Mercy. When was the first time you ever saw Nazareth play?
The first, to be honest, I haven't seen them as many times as people would think. But the first time I saw them was, it was a concert that I met Dan backstage. So I believe that would be like early 90s.
Okay. I saw him in 77 on Expect No Mercy tour. I told you that already probably as well.
Yeah.
When he was seated.
Right.
And I told him that story too. And when I met him on the bus, I made their set list for him, and they got a kick out of that. But of course, they didn't play my set list. I gave them my dream set list.
Right.
So, No Mean City, follow-up to Expect No Mercy. More of a kind of a more heavy album than Expect No Mercy. Would you agree?
It is, even though Expect No Mercy has that really heavy title track, and of course the album cover looks very intense.
Yeah.
There are some lower key songs on it. It's not really as heavy an album as this, no.
I love Expect No Mercy. I think No Mean City's in my top three Nazareth. Expect No Mercy's up there too. So I think maybe I like No Mean City a little bit better than Expect No Mercy.
No Mean City would definitely be in my top three Nazareth.
Produced by Manny Charlton. I have the vinyl in my hand here. The cover art done by, this is the guy who did the cover art. It's a cool album cover. It's like this monster warrior looking dude with two knives.
Right, it's Rodney Matthews.
Rodney Matthews. Really cool album cover. And then on the back it's got the continuation of Rodney Matthews, 1978 is when he drew it. And it's got rats on these skulls and a mythical town. And you open up the sleeve, and it's got the same inner sleeve as the back cover with the liner notes. And on the other side is the band standing there in the dark. And Pete Agnew's got a fur coat. Actually, Manny Charlton has a fur coat. Zal Clemens, have you seen the inner sleeve here? It's probably in the CD or something.
Yeah, I'm looking at it.
You have the vinyl as well?
I do.
Zal Clemens is wearing some sort of a satin, like rock tour jacket. Then Dan McCafferty's got, I can't really tell what he's wearing, a blazer of some sort. Daryl Sweet also has what looks like a fur coat. And then Pete Agnew has an extremely gay looking fur coat, but he looks something about Pete Agnew. I love that guy, man. Way underrated bass player, way underrated singer as well. The guy sings all those high parts. In the liner notes, it says, everybody in the band, recorded at Bella Stowell Farm, Isle of Man, with the Mason Rouge Mobile. So it was recorded on a mobile unit. Produced by Manny Charlton. This was like the fourth album he produced, right? Something like that. This is the sixth one. He said he did. When did he start? What was the first one he produced?
Hair of the Dog, 1975.
Yeah, Roger Glover did all the previous albums before that.
Well, the first two are by Roy Thomas Baker.
Yeah, okay.
And then three from Roger Glover, and then the whole run of Manny Charlton albums.
Razzmatazz, produced by Roger Glover?
Yeah.
Okay. So this one was produced. This was the last one that Manny produced. And then they brought in Skunk Baxter, and they had a completely different sound, even though I like that sound that they brought in. I know that some of the guys don't, and you don't. Okay, well, I'm back on the liner notes here. Just bear with me. I'm geeking out on the album, so I'm going to try to go into as much details as we can. Assistant engineer Martin Pearson mixed at Mountain Recording Studios in Montreux, Switzerland. Mastered at A&M Recording Studios, Hollywood, California. It's on, what's the label? It's on A&M Records. Mastered by Frank DeLuna. Rodney Matthews did the record cover and the sleeve design. Then they thanked some people, and they thanked some more people. Album title was inspired by the novel No Mean City, which was written by MacArthur and Long. Did you ever read that book?
I haven't. I know of it. I've never seen a copy of it. But, yeah, it's actually H. Kingsley Long and a guy named Alexander MacArthur.
Okay.
And that's where the... that's where the character on the cover of the album comes from, that book. The full, they don't even tell you the real title of the book. The full title of the book is No Mean City, A Story of the Glasgow Slums.
Yeah,
it's from 1935.
Right. There you go. Okay, and what else do they say on the liner notes here? Engineered by Tony Taverner. I don't know what else he worked on. Manny produced it. A&M Records, 1979. For information about Nazareth t-shirts, posters, and fan club, write to Nazareth Merchandising, care of Mountain Management, 57th Street, New York, New York. Go ahead and write them, see what happens. All right, you ready to listen to this thing track by track? I'm just kind of see if it still holds up. Did you listen to it since I contacted you to come on, or you saw the thing on the Facebook group?
I spun it today, actually, yeah.
Did it hold up for you?
Very, very much so, yeah.
Okay, I don't know who plays the solo, who plays what solo, so I'll try to figure that out. You probably know, so I thought I was in authority on Nazareth, but you got me you left me in the dust, Robert Lawson. But you did write a book on him, so how did you research the book?
It was just a lot of, I have, of course, all the CDs and multiple versions. As you know from looking at the book, it's a real album-by-album guide. It's not so much a biography. So just from going through the albums and talking to other big fans, going through all the liner notes to all the different versions, seeing, digging up whatever interviews I could find of the guys where they talk about the music, and just slowly, compiling all that information, I find that if you take an album and, you write a few notes about where it was recorded and the singles and the chart action and a little bit about each song and maybe about a TV appearance and a radio broadcast. If you do that for a whole album, you got a pretty good chapter. So the band has like 20 albums, and you do that for each of those albums, you got a book.
All right. They didn't have any problem of you using the album covers for the artwork of the book, or the guys in Nazareth or the record labels didn't give you any problems about that? Because I know Cheap Trick did.
Well, Cheap Trick gave me problems with other stuff. I specifically, on all my books, actually, almost anything on the cover is like a bootleg or like a weird import or like a single or, an import, from like a foreign country. So there isn't any actual album covers on the cover of the book. So, if the Taiwan branch of A&M Records wants to come after me, I'm sure they don't even exist anymore.
All right.
But I wouldn't just put like the cover to, like, actually No Mean City is a good example, because on the back cover of my book, instead of showing No Mean City, I have what I think, if I recall, it's a Philippine, like bootleg copy of the album or a pirated copy. So I use that instead. And I like that anyway, because I think it's more interesting for people to look at. And the same thing, definitely with Cheap Trick. If you're reading a book about, if you care enough about Cheap Trick to read a book about every album they ever put out, I think you know what Dream Police looks like.
Yeah.
But you might not know what the 7-inch single sleeve for the Dream Police song looks like.
Right. Okay. Yeah, I'm flipping through the book now, looking. I'm getting sidetracked. All right. First song, just to get into. Let me pull out the vinyl here. So if you see who has the songwriting credits. I'm going to compare them to the Wikipedia. It's got the classic A&M center label on the vinyl. Just to Get Into It, written by Dan McCafferty, Manny Charlton, Sal Clemenson, Pete Agnew, and Daryl Sweet. Written by all of them. All right, a little of Just to Get Into It. I'll back it up a little bit here in the beginning of the song. Just to Get Into It. That sounds like, is that Manny playing that solo, or is that Zal playing?
That's Zal.
That's what I thought. Oh, shit. We fast forward a little bit. Here we go. It's good they gave Zal first solo, so they let him showcase right off the top.
Yeah, and he actually also has a solo songwriting credit on the album, for his first. I mean, I think everybody knows, or people should understand, that Nazareth had great respect for Zal. You know, they weren't bringing him in as like a junior partner. He was somebody that they really wanted to be in the band, and Manny particularly really wanted Zal to be in the band.
Yeah, because they were huge Alex Harvey band fans. And I think, didn't Zal play on Dan McCafferty's first solo album?
Well, he did, yeah. And that's almost like a testing ground, because that's one of the albums that Manny produced. So when I said that he produced seven albums or whatever, I said I'm including that Dan McCafferty album in there, because it is important that Zal's first appearance playing with these guys.
Yeah, they had respect. They loved the Sensational Alex Harvey Band, as most people did. And Zal was really cool in Alex Harvey Band, too. He wore the mime makeup and all that, but he did not do this. This was the first time he had been on stage without all that makeup on.
Definitely the first time most people had ever seen Zal without
he was
the
cool
makeup
too.
And the outfits.
I always thought he was really cool. He's a great guitar player, too. So is Manny. But Manny's more of a... You can tell Manny's parts. Manny's more melodic. His solos are more melodic and is a little bluesy as well.
Yeah.
All right, back to Just to Get Into It. In your book, I'm sorry to keep stopping it, but in your book, you said that Dan is way low in the mix. This must be a remastered version I have, because he's not low in the mix on this.
Yeah, I agree with you. I'm not sure. I mean, I wrote the book like 4 or 5 years ago, so I'm not sure what version I was listening to at that moment.
Okay. So when you met with Dan in Scotland a couple of years ago, how did his health look? Did he look like he was in okay health?
He was he had a puffer.
What's a puffer?
You know, like people who have asthma.
Uh-huh.
You know, just something to give you like a little shot of oxygen. So he had that a few times. That he would take a little puff of oxygen from it. But otherwise, I thought he was fine.
Okay, good. That's good to hear. Because when he dies, I'm going to stop it for a minute. When Pete Way died from UFO, I was extremely heartbroken and very emotional about it. I'm going to probably be at least that emotional when Dan dies, which hopefully won't be anytime soon.
It's not something I really want to think about.
No. That is Manny, I'm pretty sure, right?
I think so, probably, yeah.
I love this tune. You like this one too, right, Robert?
Yeah.
So plus one for me. I'm not going to do the Rock and Roll Geek scoring system because I would probably give all, I like all the songs in this album. I'm just going to, it's going to turn you on to the album. Which, by the way, friends, if you have the Rock and Roll Geek app, do not look on the bonus content because there will not be a link where you can download this album. That would be wrong. Sounds like Zal, I'm guessing. I don't know. I think so. Rockin' Tune, great opening track. I like that song. All right,
if you notice, you notice on that one, I know it's hard to take your kind of ears off of what Zal is doing, but Pete is playing some incredible bass on that song.
Like I said, he's going forward, it's
really great, great bass work by Pete Agnew on that.
He's one of the most underrated bass players. He's in my top bass players of all time. I think I did an episode of top of my favorite bass players, and he was on that list. The guy is way underrated bass player. Really good. And he sings the high stuff. I had to sing Shot Me Down, and there's a great bass part in Shot Me Down, and singing and playing that together was not easy, but Pete Agnew does not get the credit for being the good bass player that he really is. All right, next song.
Right.
May the Sunshine, which was the first single on the album.
Yeah.
This album was not a hit in the United States. I think it was probably a disappointment in the States because Expect No Mercy did okay for them, I think, in the States. I don't know how well's okay. Not as good as Hair of the Dog, but this one didn't do as well as Expect No Mercy, right?
Yeah, this album only hit 88 in the States.
Yeah, none of these songs got played on the radio when I was a kid, but I was a Nazareth fan. I bought it when it came out. I think I'm holding the vinyl that I bought when I was a kid. All right, May the Sunshine, first single. That is Zal because I saw on Top of the Pops performance, and Zal's playing an acoustic on this. Right? Am I right?
I think it might be a mandolin, actually.
Okay. Well, he's playing an acoustic on the lip sync version.
Right.
Mm-hmm. That's Manny. Manny plays a great slide.
Yeah, for sure.
And listen to Dan, listen to Pete Agnew's bass on this.
Yeah.
Written by Manny Charlton, Dan McCafferty, Pete Agnew, and Daryl Sweet. So, Zal's not part of the songwriting. No, on the vinyl he's got credit. Just on the Wikipedia he does not. But on the vinyl he does have credit on this. This is the kind of Nazareth I really like. I like the pop melodies that they did. They had some really good, catchy tunes. Classic Dan vocals. Classic Manny guitar part. You like this song, okay, Robert?
I love it.
Yeah. It's one of my favorites on the album. What's your wife doing right now? Is she in the house with you?
She is. She's trying to reboot our computer that crashed about 2 hours ago.
What is she? And, does she know you're going to geek out on Nazareth with some other nerd?
Yeah, as soon as you contacted me, I said, hey, Butler wants me back on.
She rolled her eyes. Exactly. Who's that? And then she rolled her eyes. Oh, we're going to talk Nazareth. And she rolled her eyes and go, oh, God. The song doesn't really go anywhere. It's kind of repetitive, but I like it. Does not say on the credits who plays the mandolin. I'm going to guess Zal. What do I know? I'm probably wrong. All right. Great tune. Next song, completely written by Zal Clementson. Simple Solution Parts 1 and 2. One of my favorites on this album. This song is fucking great. You agree?
Yeah, this song swings like almost nothing else in the Nazareth catalog. Like if you know what that means, this song is the perfect example of a rock song that swings.
On the vinyl here, on the songwriting credits, on the center of the little, on the vinyl itself, the little center label, it says A. Clementson. What does A stand for?
His first name is Alexander.
Alexander. I wonder why they call him Zal.
Zal is a shortened. There's a story behind this, and now I can't think what it is.
It's got to
be Alexander, something like that.
Some sort of Scottish.
But the thing about the credits, Michael, because you keep mentioning, and you're right, because I've got the Castle CD and the Salvo CD. So the Castle CD, for the first two songs, all five members are credited with songwriting. But on the Salvo, Clementson is left off of those two songs. So I don't know why that is, but I will point out that in the Salvo liner notes, they say that Frank Frazetta did the cover artwork, obviously we know is incorrect. Right. So even though the Salvo booklet is a lot thicker and it's got a lot more information, it seems to have a few errors in it.
Yeah, poor research.
Yeah, like if you don't know that Frazetta didn't do that cover, I don't know.
Yeah. Okay. Simple Solution. Parts 1 and 2. Great riff. Great riff. And Manny, or Dan McCafferty's vocals. Huh. Come on. Listen to that. And what Pete Agnew is playing while the he ball just doing like a basic thing, but it's a cool ass bass line. Really was nobody like Nazareth. You there, Robert?
I agree. They have this weird mix of influences. I mean, just having Dan, there's nobody like him.
Oh, Dan McCaffrey, top two singers of all time. All right, here come the dual guitars. Listen to that. Yeah, this song is fucking great, man.
Yeah, and, you know, that's an example, like, when we were talking earlier about what Zal's role would be in the band. If he comes to the band and he brings a track like this...
Yeah. Yep. The woman on the cross, we almost had it, boss. It was really spread the news. I wonder if he brought a demo into it with him singing the song. I guess this is part two coming up.
Yeah.
And listen to this. They carry this kind of melody and songwriting ideas into Malice in Wonderland. So do you like when it goes to this part? Because this is a lot of this is throughout Malice in Wonderland, this melody here coming up.
Yeah, I dig it. Yeah.
You like it. There's one more run on that chicken wire. And then back into the heaviness comes right into it. That's great. Listen to this bass. Please. Alright, we're gonna let it go a little farther. Fuck it. I just love that. No. That's great. Send me down a simple solution. Send me down a simple solution. All right. Fucking great fucking song, man. Holy shit. All right. Next song is the last song on side one. Star. Written by, pardon me, I'm burping, it was fine, Tecate. Written by Dan McCafferty and Manny Charlton. What do you like this song, Star?
I like it a lot. I think it's a nice little song. I don't know if it's essential. It's not one of my ultimate favorites. There is one tune that I kind of wish that they would swap out on this album, which we'll get to when we get to the end of the record.
Yeah, I got to find that song because I don't have that song anywhere in my collection, I don't think. So when I interviewed them on the bus, I brought a cassette player and a little boom box, and I said, I'm going to play something for you guys. And I played this. I said, what does that sound like to you guys? They said, oh, it sounds like Star. And so I played it a little longer.
Summer has come and back.
So there's Green Day doing Wake Me Up When September Ends. Now listen to Star. Sound at all familiar? At all similar to you?
Yeah, that sounds really. I don't really know too much about Green Day, so I never knew about that.
It's exact. So I guess Billy Joe Armstrong, a Manny Charlton fan.
Guess so, yeah.
There, when I played that for him, their jaws dropped to the floor. By the way.
It was nice.
Good. Man, I felt good. I geeked. I felt good when I did that.
Walking alone at night in the cold rain, wondering if I will see you again. It's some kind of life.
This was a single too, or was it? No, this was not a single.
Yes, it was.
It was. What was on the back side of this?
Born to Love.
What's Born to Love on?
That's from from the previous Expect No Mercy.
What's on Expect No Mercy? Why don't I know that? Born to Love's not on my Expect No Mercy.
No, it's on Close Enough for Rock and Roll. Oh, okay. Playing the Game. Okay. Playing the Game.
Okay. This is the kind of Manny guitar parts I like. I'm going to back it up a little bit. I like this. This is the kind of Nazareth I really like. Right.
And again, some great melodic Pete Agnew bass behind what Manny's doing there.
Oh, let's listen to it. Yeah. Pete Agnew, secret weapon of Nazareth, the glue that held it all together, still going. I hope Pete Agnew's okay too, because he's kind of old. He's a lifer. That guy will. I think he'll go until he dies.
Yeah, it was just his birthday the other day.
Oh, really? Huh. Hmm. What's he doing now? Is he? I guess Nazareth is. Are they working on another album?
I don't think so. I think right now they're just kind of waiting out this situation so that they can hopefully schedule some dates for next year.
I really like that last album of theirs.
I did too. It's different, but I liked it.
What album is Butterfly? That's on Big Dogs, right?
I think so, yeah.
Rock and Roll Telephone's the last one. Butterfly, Dan McCafferty's vocals are just tear jerking on that song. It makes me want to. I could go off on that. Forget about it. I don't want to talk about that album. We're on No Mean City. All right, we flip the album over and we have Claim to Fame Written by Manny Charlton on the vinyl, is what it says here. What does it say on the Wikipedia? Yeah, Manny Charlton. Soul songwriting credits.
Manny actually has three full...
Yeah, the next three are Manny songs. Kind of a drone.
What gives you this crazy?
Oh, Dan's part is great.
Talk to my woman. What you claim to fame? What gives you half a mind to even think her name? What you claim to fame? What you name?
Claim to Fame thuds along with a Neanderthal groove, phlegmy vocals, and some air raid siren tones. Words of Robert Lawson. This is Manny Charlton defending the honor of his lady.
What gives your hair for my...
You ever meet Manny?
No, I haven't. He's pretty much retired to Spain, and I don't think he travels much.
Huh. I interviewed him. He was living in Texas.
He was in Texas for a while, yeah, but he relocated to Spain, I think, about 6 or 7 years ago.
I wonder if he's still with this woman he's defending on this song. He did his own version of Nazareth. Do you ever hear that?
Yeah, he did a whole bunch of shows. He's got a lot of solo albums. There's a whole chapter in my book about his solo records. But also, after Linton Osborne left Nazareth, that's the most diplomatic I can say that, he actually did some shows and some recording with Manny, but then nothing ever came of it. They actually did like three shows in Scotland. I think it was three in Scotland. And they recorded a few songs that were like available on Manny's website, but then nothing. I never heard anything else about it.
He had some guy, because he was doing like a Nazareth tribute thing, and he had some guy who was a Dan McCafferty, kind of a clone of Dan McCafferty, at least vocal-wise. I don't know what he looked like. I think he looked like one of those generic rock-looking dudes. But he didn't look as cool as Dan, but yeah.
Right.
Manny, great guitar player.
What's your name?
All right, the thing that makes this song is Manny's vocal, is Dan's vocals. You like this song, okay?
Yeah, I love it.
Yeah. All right, next song, Whatever You Want, Babe. This is the kind of Manny song that I like, the melodic. Yeah. That guitar part, that's my favorite thing Manny Charlton does.
Yeah.
This is my favorite song in the album. And listen to Pete Agnew's bass.
If you don't wanna come by no more, I'll set you free. Whatever you want, babe. Whatever you need. Just as long as you know, babe. What you doing to me? What you doing to me? If you wanna say
like this song, Robert?
Yeah, I love it.
People call you Robert or Bob?
Most people call me Robert. My good friends call me Bobby.
Bobby, okay. I'll call you, what should I call you? Mr. Lawson? I'd like to call you Bobby if it's okay.
I would love that.
All right. I'll be honored to call you
call
Bobby.
Call me Vanessa's husband.
There you go. With better musical taste, this song would have been a massive hit.
Well, it's really neat that it's such a pop song. Like, it's such a upbeat and friendly, real bouncy pop song, and yet Dan's vocals are still just as raw and raspy and wonderful as ever. I love how those two things go together.
They are so fucking great. That's what I loved about Nazareth, was Dan's voice with Manny's melodic guitar parts. That band was so good, man. I even liked them on the Snaz, when the Snaz lineup, when they had the Nazareth Orchestra. They were still great. I even like them with the other guy. What's the guy playing guitar now? What's his name?
Oh, Jimmy Mercer?
Yeah, Jimmy Mercer, yeah. Or Mercury. Yeah. Mercura? Well, how's it, how you pronounce it?
Morrison?
Something. Jimmy. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, they're still good, but they're not Manny. Manny was the band. No, Manny wasn't the band. Manny was a good part of the band. Dan and Pete are the band. All right, next song, written by Manuel Charlton, What's In It For Me? On the Wikipedia, and they on the Wikipedia, they'll show like professional ratings, like some reviews from other websites. some lame ass magazine or website or something called Smash Hits gave this thing a 3 out of 10.
For the whole album?
Yeah. 3 out of 10.
That makes no sense.
Idiots. Earlier remasters include the song Greens as a bonus track. Do you know that song?
No.
That's according to the Wikipedia. And then there's a remaster bonus track called Snaefell?
Yeah, we're going to talk about that for sure.
Yeah, I don't have that song. I'll find it on the YouTube. You want love, you don't want much. What's in it for me? What's in it for me? This is probably my least favorite song in the album, but I still like it because of Dan's voice and Manny's guitar parts. Yeah. As far as the whole song goes, it's not my favorite song, but it's still got cool parts. Sounds like a little bit like another Nazareth tune. All right, there's What's In It For Me. And the last song on the album, No Mean City Parts 1 and 2. So they got Simple Solution Parts 1 and 2 and then No Mean City Parts 1 and 2. Written by Dan McCafferty, Manny Charlton, A. Clemenson, Pete Agnew, and Daryl Sweet. No Mean City. I love this one. I fucking love this one. You like this one, Bobby?
I love it.
All right, good. I love that no guitar part in the background. Yeah.
The feelings out of touch. You're working on just to hold on. You're hurting your soul.
I like this part too. This song is fucking great. What an album. What an album. Friends, they do not make them like this anymore. You can argue all you want, but that you were wrong.
Turn up your ducks, cause I am no fox. Turn up your white line, my alibi is rock tight. Your nightstick cheap trick is pulling me in. Your monkey suit stays bright, black and white, blue suit, lock suit.
To me, this represents Nazareth at their creative peak, in my opinion. I know most people say, oh, no, it's Razzmatazz, that's a creative peak. But nah, they brought in Zal Clemenson, and they were taking a new artistic turn, and they were on fire. This song would never be a hit, but man, what a great tune it is. You like this one, right, Bobby?
I absolutely love it.
Yeah. I'm going to call you Robert. I feel better calling you. I feel more comfortable calling you Robert. I feel like an asshole calling you Bobby.
Legs wrapped around a plastic stool. He's making more in one day than you can. Hot, hot dinner.
Everything about it. Dan's great. Pete Agnew's great. And don't forget, Daryl Sweet, underrated drummer, too. Then we go into melodic parts. This has everything you want in a Nazareth tune, all rolled into one song. Dan sounds fucking great.
Your empire is burning, you can't feel the spin. Your hot rock space box actually kill machine. It's looking mean. It should be working well. Feel the city heartbeat, feel the pulse.
There you go. It's no mean city. It's better every time I hear it. All right, and you said there is a bonus track called, how do you pronounce it? Snaefell? Snaefell?
Snaefell.
Snaefell. All right, I found it on YouTube. Let me see if I can hear it. So what are you going to say about this song?
Well, so this is a bonus track on the 2010 Salvo reissue, and it's just a short, delicate little instrumental piece by Manny Charlton and Zal, and I just think if they had been able to squeeze it in the album somewhere, it really would have fit in, especially maybe right before or after the track No Mean City, because it just has it's a real melodic but poetic. It's a beautiful, beautiful track, and it really shows the two guys working together as guitar players.
Maybe it was a record label decision. I'm gonna try to count up how long the album is. We got 4 minutes and 35, 8 minutes, 12 minutes, and another 6 minutes. Yeah. 18 minutes per album. It's probably because they didn't have enough, couldn't put it all on the vinyl, so they had to cut one song out, and maybe they didn't feel comfortable not putting a vocal song on. I don't know. Let's listen to Snaefell. Hopefully this will play, because it's on YouTube, so let's see what happens here. This the version?
Yeah.
I can't believe I've never heard this. And you think this should have replaced Star. At least that's what it says in your book, right?
Well, maybe.
I like it. I will probably let this play as we roll out. By the way, Robert, thank you so much for coming on and doing this. I really appreciate it, friend.
Love it.
I could have done it, but it wouldn't have been as good without you, because you have way more expertise. What's the plans for the rest of the evening? What time is it there?
Well,
Toronto's East Coast.
It is, I think it's about 11:30 at night.
You have a day job?
I do, but I'm off this week, so I'll be watching a movie.
What's your day job?
I manage a record store.
Oh, still. Does the wife still work at that record store, too?
No.
Okay. What does she do?
She works in a, just kind of an office job, but she's going to break out into her own soon.
Okay. All right, friends. Thank you for tuning in. I really appreciate it. Please keep the show reviews from the past coming. I got two or three more to play, but please keep them coming. rockandrollgeek@gmail.com, and I'll play them on the next show. I'm going to do another show next week, so please keep those coming. Send them to me, rockandrollgeek@gmail.com. Robert Lawson, thank you for doing this. We'll let the song play out, and then I'll say goodbye. So stay on the line, and we'll let the song play out, and then I'll say goodbye after the show. Thank you for listening, friends. The show's a value for value. If you got any value out of this, please contribute what you can. And please don't look on the bonus content if you have the Rock and Roll Geek app, because this album will not be on it, because that would be wrong, friends. Thank you for listening. I will talk to you next week. I'm heading up to the Mountain House tomorrow. I'm going to enjoy the woods.
It's a rock and roll geek train wreck.